Unknown is the best BL right now in 2024. I've already made a podcast episode about this. In this episode now, I wanted to talk specifically about some of the symbolism that this show uses. I'm not going to go over every symbolic moment or every form of foreshadowing in the narrative. I just think this show is so good, and it's the little subtleties and the details that really makes it stand out and set itself apart from other BLs that are currently airing. Hi, I'm Anique. I am the host of Off by Purple Art podcast, where I talk to you about K-dramas, C-dramas, BTS, and whatever else I want to talk about. Unknown, I'm tapping into this show again. I really love it, and I'm excited because I've seen some clips of teasers for episode 10, which shall be airing tomorrow. I'm filming this super late on a Friday night, just got home, and yeah, I'm just gonna put this episode out because I'm super excited for episode 10 that's coming out shortly, and I might even do a follow-up podcast about that. In any case, symbolism is used a lot in this show. There was one key thing that I pointed out in my first podcast about Unknown, which was the red string of fate. And in particular, I had highlighted a scene where the main character, Chien, who I keep referring to as Quinn. I swear, I feel like I'm dyslexic. So I just, for some reason, with Chris, the actor who plays the lead character, and his glasses, he just reminds me of a Quinn that I know. And I keep, for some reason, my brain just keeps switching back to Quinn, even though the character's name is Chien. It's Q-I-A-N, but I keep saying Quinn. So if I do this, I apologize in advance. And Yuan is the second lead for the show, or the second major character of the show, the little brother that is going to be causing all sorts of turbulence. So yes, I had to get that out the way. But in regards to the red string of fate, the whole mythology of that, and I believe that goes back to Chinese mythology. I think there's also some Japanese mythology in reference to the red string, but I do know that it has origins in East Asia, and it's mainly about the idea of two people being connected by invisible red string that are destined for one another. And there's a lot of different breakdowns of this. Some will say, you know, two people are connected by the red thread, are destined lovers regardless of time, place, or circumstance. The magical cord may stretch, it may tangle, but it will never break. No matter the amount of tension, no matter of time, it will never wear down. It's a soul tie that is forever. And I think that is so gorgeous and romantic. One show I know that I watched in the past that was all about the red string of fate that I loved was Until We Meet Again, which was another BL. And at the time of its airing, it was pretty iconic for me because that was probably the first BL that I really got into. But in any case, I love the use of that imagery in this show. This show uses red a lot. One of the earlier instances of red is the red banister that is showcased pretty prominently in the show, and I like that it's typically highlighted by production in like key emotional moments. I think of the big blow up, so I'm going into some spoilers with the show, between Kian and Yuan, and this is after the revelation that Yuan has romantic feelings for Kian, and just how confused and angry and scared and in fear Kian is of this, because the show up until episode 6 was slowly building on the relationship between the brothers, and even though they're not blood related, the deep bond that they had, all the trauma wounds that they've expressed and had in their own private lives, and how they came together, and how Kian kind of became like a parental figure slash guardian slash big brother slash friend. And between those episodes of 1 and 5, slowly seeing Yuan grow older and grow up from adolescence and being a teenager till him finally turning 18 and those feelings switching from that familial love to something else, to something deeper, but to what some would consider taboo. And I know in my last podcast, some people took issue to my use of the word taboo. And maybe that's too strong of a word, but there's definitely sensitivity around a love story with this subject matter, even though I think this show is doing a really great job in the nuance of it and making it so that it's not creepy and that the viewers are so enthralled in the story and that it's just a really great character study versus some type of creeper groomer type romance. But in any case, I think of after the aftermath of the major fight and, you know, Yuan coming down the stairs with a suitcase after being essentially kicked out of the home and being sent abroad to study, which narratively made sense because there needed to be a massive time break and for both characters to have lives separate from one another, for Yuan to grow up and actually be an adult and actually come to the conscious decision of whether he wants to pursue this relationship and have the relationship take a different form than what it was prior to him turning 18. And the red banister in particular is highlighted a lot, even as he is essentially walking away begrudgingly from Kian and Kian basically putting up that mental barrier. That red banister representing that line between them is still constant. And I also think of the following scene, I think in episode 7, when, you know, there's been these many years of separation, and even though Yuan is trying to contact and try to call and just basically update Kian on his life, and of course he misses him, and you know, Kian's having none of that until he's kind of forced to, like, he comes to terms with everything 4 years later on his birthday. He finally kind of gives out, like, a sign and contacts Yuan first. And then they have that conversation, and it's taking place at that stairwell. So no matter how distant the relationship is, no matter how much fractures have happened in it, that red banister, that red line, that red thread is still connecting the two of them. They're still tied together. And we all know the end result is them coming together romantically. They're going to be tied in this love in one way or another, even though narratively it's just not appropriate at that time. So that is like one of the major instances of red that I really enjoyed that they use in the show. There's also the boxing tutorial that Kian Qian tries to give Yuan in episode 4, you know, before everything comes to a head, was really, really good. I think having it being a boxing match, it makes it pretty obvious what the writers are trying to symbolize in the show. But first, with the tying of Yuan's hand with the red, which I think is so great because red as a color is really loud and it represents a lot of things. And in specificity to this scene, it represents like sexuality and desire and just enhancing of, you know, physical needs. And at this point, there is no doubt in Yuan's mind of what's going on and his feelings towards Qian. He knows undoubtedly just how much he loves and desires him and how much he wants this relationship change. And it's this huge, turbulent emotion. And there's also, you know, having negative connotations as well with the color of red and dominance and boxing being all about having to dominate your opponent, which I think is really brilliant. As well, there is just the unfocusedness of Yuan in the entire scene because he is visibly uncomfortable during the entirety of the scene. So not only is there this physical battle where Qian is trying to, you know, teach him how to box and he's getting in his face and there's all this, you know, physical contact and it's like this push and pull. So it's this physical battle that Yuan is extremely uncomfortable with, but there's also the internal battle that's going on in his mind when he comes to terms with just how strong his desire is to the point where it's almost suffocating, and it's like this rising tension in the scene, and you can see like the camera getting in focus and out of focus, and the camera work and the tight in the face shots and the zooming out, all the while with, you know, the red wrapped around his hand. And even Yuen's monologue, I absolutely adore it, and it just shows just how enraptured he is in Chien. And I just love how like hungry and like how much desire and how deep that yearning is from Yuen to Chien, and him saying, you know, you took my hand and wrapped it round and round and round. Chien, can you just tie me to you like this? And it's just like something that's so beyond desire that it's just indescribable. And I just loved how that entire scene played out into just basically the devastation of the next couple of episodes. So there's that. As far as other scenes that I really liked, as far as symbolism is concerned, it's the fishing trips that they do. The first shipping trip, I believe just before like the major fight in episode 6, and you get that entire dream sequence of Yuen crossing over the riverbank towards Kien, and then sharing that dream kiss that's extremely passionate and overwrought with emotion, and then the come to a realization that they're just nowhere close to that yet in the relationship, and narratively it's just not the right timing at all, is brilliant. You know, fishing itself, there is a lot of obvious symbolism in that, you know, as far as spirituality and fish and the element of water, you know, signifying stability and balance and tranquility. Despite like the high emotions that are running between them, that is like, I would say those adjectives are clearly what Chien is wanting above all else. And even despite the fact that there's such a shift in their relationship, and they both know that things are changing, and they both feel unsteady on uneven footing with one another, and even like the way Yuen would sometimes touch him, you know, and Chien kind of like jumping back and is nervous, but there's something that's really stabilizing, equalizing about them coming together to fish. And just the element of water, I thought was really cool. And it's like two really high emotional scenes come from that. So first a dream sequence, and then finally the whole resolution of them coming back together after, you know, episode 6 and episode 7 of the separation, and then the big grand reintroduction of Yuen as like a full adult who has spent 4 years away from, you know, someone who he once thought of as his brother and now sees him as an adult man that he has this deep longing desire for, and that the feelings didn't fade away at all. If anything, they came back like in tenfold, but now he's adult. He had separation from this home that they had, and they go on this fishing trip again. And this time, instead of the dream sequence and still with, you know, the element of water, you know, him coming out and basically putting all his feelings out there and saying, you know what? I want you. I may not be able to have you in this life, and that's okay. I will deal with it. But just knowing that I can be grounded in this moment with you, for us to come back together, that tie hasn't broken. And despite everything, the amount of tests and trials and tribulations that we've had, I can still come together with you and share in this moment, and that be enough, and that be okay for me. And especially with the revelation that Yuen had some pretty messed up times abroad, and that he almost had a near-death experience, and that was what crystallized in his mind just the vastness of his love for Chien, and for him to basically encapsulate in that simple moment of the second fishing trip that we see, I just thought was brilliant altogether. So that is just some of the symbolism that I love about the show. There's so much more, but this podcast would be so gosh darn long. I love people talking about the show as well. I mean, since I've posted my podcast, I've actually, and I know it's not in relation to what I posted because I have such a small channel. I just love that. I was complaining in the last episode that I don't think enough people are talking about it, but once I actually posted that and I actually did a deeper dive, like so many more people are talking about it, and so many people have brought up some of the symbolism that I've talked about in this episode and have gone into much more beautiful and poetic detail, and that's just really fun to see. I just love that this show can generate such deep commentary, and there's just so much thought and care put into it, and even with quote-unquote taboo or taboo-ish subject matter, is just a fantastic show, and I am so excited about episode 10. I genuinely think they're going to stick the landing with this show. I will reserve judgment until episode 12, but I still think this is the best BL of 2024, and unless they extremely fumble the bag in the next three, I can't see that title being taken away from it. God, I hope not. But anyways, that's it for this podcast episode. If there's any particular moments that were really strong to you that had heavy symbolism or heavy foreshadowing to you and you wanted to talk about it in the comment section if you're watching this via YouTube, please describe down below. I'll be really curious about some of your theories and what you've picked up on. If you're listening via Spotify or Apple Podcasts, I really, truly appreciate y'all as well. Got a lot more coming down the pipeline. And I think there's a K-drama that I really want to get into. It's been airing, and there's been a lot of talk about it. I believe it's called Lovely Runner, and it has a K-drama actor that I really, really like looking at, and I think I'm going to start reviewing it shortly. So if you're into K-dramas, don't worry. There's going to be K-drama content coming. Don't you worry. There's going to be definitely more C-drama reviews, and once we get into summertime and, you know, BTS members start coming back, like Jin, best believe I'm gonna be doing my BTS podcast episodes. I haven't done a BTS episode in quite a bit, but I'm looking forward to tapping back into that as well. Anyways, if you're watching morning, noon, night, wherever you are, I really appreciate you. Till the next episode.